This might get weird.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Well, then cheers, Grace Helbig.
Cheers, Mary Hart.
You guys, welcome back to another episode of This Might Get Real.
And another episode of Where in the World is Mamrie Hart Today?
I mean, it is very true. It is very true. It's so funny. I was talking, there was like a business person I needed to be in touch with. I know that sounds incredibly vague.
Yes, nice.
But I needed like notes on something. And I remember saying to someone, well, based on their Instagram, they're always on vacation. And our manager, Vincent, was like, based on your Instagram, you're always
Have you looked at your own Instagram? You just
How dare she?
You just did a Reels for the hotel you were in down in Palm Springs.
Look, you had to get a free couple of nights. It was a great time, but our house is booked and busy. Okay.
Love it.
I love it too. I'm in Napa.
Gorgeous, gorgeous Napa. Mm-hmm. Which feels appropriate, maybe as we get to The Bachelor. It feels like a romantic setting, but
it is.
We have a lot to talk about this week, as always. I was just trying to read what was happening in these episodes because I have notes, but they are, like my brain, scattered.
Yes. So if you like to hear about reality TV and also want it to be nonsensical, like there's so many, I'm sure, reality TV podcasts that are so structured.
Yeah.
And this truly is stream of consciousness, jumping around. We're flipping channels.
Yeah. You're in a real conversation with two people trying to remember what they watched.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's get into it as we have been doing recently, which is starting with Drag Race because we are, a week late to the recap and we're barely hanging on to memory of the episode.
This was a bittersweet episode.
I know.
Our precious, precious Dawn is gone.
Dawn is gone into day.
Yeah, I did love that when I forget who it was called her out in Boy Drag and said her name would be Dusk. And I was like, that's great.
Excellent. Honestly, it's perfect from Dawn till Dusk. Like that needs to be the one person show and go get it. No, we absolutely love Dawn. Dawn has been very vocally sweet about us and being a
friend of the pod.
There we go. A fop, a total fop. But let's get into this. The challenge was bathroom hunties.
Bathroom hunties. Well, first, okay, there's a little bit of drama up top where Q is telling Safira that her win is undeserved.
I think repressed that.
Yeah, I was going back looking at like what Twitter was saying, which obviously everyone's like, pearls clutched, myself included. Especially because she like doubled down on the word undeserved. Undeserved, I don't think, is a word anyone should use to anyone in this competition because I can't imagine how much they're working their asses off at every single challenge. I get that you're upset that you didn't win, but to say someone's win is undeserved is just like so pointed at them and it, rather than like the panel of judges that decided it for or against you.
Exactly that. Like the only thing undeserved was Safira being treated like that. And also like how many times have we had someone get a win and then someone says something and the big thing is like, I know Safira has won a few times, but like not only are you hurting someone's feelings by saying it's undeserved, but also like they get this one little moment of that like high of coming off a win that you just kind of like pulled out from under them, you know?
Yeah. Not only is it karmically bad for your own energy in the competition, but the one thing that I do believe is undeserved is Safira's absolute grace towards Q in this situation. Because the quote when Safira, like at the mirrors later in the episode, is like, I got to talk to her about this because this did rub me the wrong way. Safira is mother, just period. But she said, and I wrote this down, one word can be the difference between getting your point across and hurting someone's feelings. Aww. And I like stood up. I got chills right now thinking about that.
I was like,
what a beautiful way to say this specific thing to Q and to also give an entire lesson to the entire watching public. Like Safira is, not to sound like Gen Z Twitter, but Safira is mother. Like truly
absolutely
embodies that maternal nurturing, doesn't go tit for tat, like takes the high road and also like comes from a place of trying to understand the other person, which like that's rare for people that compassionate.
Two things. One, I just thought of maybe their one person show is Safira in the Mirror. Just take
that feels take, like her early 90s Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, exactly. No, but also it's exactly that her even saying that line, I was like, is that a known thing to say, or did she come up with that, you know, it bothering her? Because it's true, it's like maybe Q didn't have ill intentions towards Safira, and, you know, maybe it really was like, oh, I think the judges just really like you more than me, whatever it is. But the delivery, man, like I was turning down the volume on my TV because I felt like two friends were fighting in front of me.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like I wanted to pull Q aside. So I'm glad they worked through it in like an adult way. But yes, there were a lot of people on Twitter that was like, if I was Safira, I would have snatched another bad wig off of Q. You know,
she was so respectful, which was incredible. I mean, she's just a class act top to bottom. Totally. Speaking of classy, their challenge.
Speaking of bottoms.
Bottoms. Bathroom hunties. What a fun, dumb challenge.
I love the challenge. I will say I was watching this episode with my friend Steve and Soren. And yes, I smoked a little weed, which I rarely do. Welcome. But I laughed so hard because as not HGTV watchers, Soren was like, what is this a play on? And then I said it, and then it was like the lack of pun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I get hunties, hunters, but it was like, this is a fucking stretch, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, and if you don't watch HGTV, it is, a bit of like, what the fuck are we doing? Just making up a bathroom and then like having fun showing it off.
Which, I always get all so awkward too. Sorry to interrupt, but like so it's not only that it was awkward.
Yeah.
It could have been awkward enough if the camera just came in and you did it crib style talking to the camera. But we also have Michelle and Carson playing characters.
I was like, oh no, I didn't realize that this was gonna be an improv game for like 20 minutes. Like that is, so this is the seemingly a fun dumb challenge, but this is hard as shit because they are designing a room, designing a concept, designing characters, playing to the judges as these characters, which then you're also hoping that the judges play off of you well enough that you can showcase whatever character you have.
Right. Like, what if you're just not, what if you're in it doing your thing? And first of all, you're combating against Michelle and Carson's character work. But also, what if you're like, I don't get this like Berlin couple.
Yeah.
Like, they made it harder than it needed to be by adding in that element. They should have absolutely have been like, hey, welcome to my bathroom, hunty. Let me show you around. They did not need that extraness. And that made me cringe worse than the queen's performances.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really, because I know in previous seasons there was the challenge of designing like a club. And it was like, let me show you like Club 69 or what was that? Was that was?
Yeah, but that was good.
It was so good. But I give them all a lot of credit because, I mean, at this point in the competition, they've got to be fried in their brains anyway. And so then to be paired off in duos and to basically design an entire room and then do an improv scene inside of it is
wild. Here's what I'll say, though.
Yeah.
I thought the Museum of Modern Fart was super fun. You know, that was a great way to do it.
We love a fart soundboard.
We love it. I obviously the speakeasy made total sense, which is hilarious. Yeah. But the hell of it all, while it could have been funny, this is Morphine and Q. Mm-hmm. The two things I thought watching it is, why are we doing Valley Girl impressions? Like the go-to of, I don't know how to do characters is, well, I'll just do vocal fry.
Yeah, and they called that out, I think.
I'm so over it.
Yeah.
But two, there were a couple of visual gags in that bathroom, like not being able to reach the toilet paper, that I thought, these two hoes didn't think of that. A producer thought of that because that's hilarious. And yeah. I haven't seen either of these two be that witty. And call me out if I'm wrong. But I saw that and I went, oh, okay, the girls are fried. So the producers were like, maybe this would be a funny joke.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. Because I feel like if producers get involved, that's murky territory since it is like a legal competition program. I don't know. But I will say their concept of hell at first, I was like, I don't get it. Like when they were just spitballing. And then as they were designing, I was like, oh, that's really fun. Because in my mind, mm-hmm. I was like, surely it needs to be a functional bathroom.
Oh, Grace, like, you're thinking of it so analytically.
Literally. And then I was like, oh, no, it can be whatever they fucking want. Yeah. I was surprised to see Nymphia steamroll so hard. I was
unreal.
She's more reserved or has been classically. I wonder if because the Jane Goodall of it all was so, such a miss that she was like, I'm going to make sure I'm a character this time.
I hear you. But again, I don't know if it's the edit, but they definitely gave Nymphia the edit of when we're coming up on this, where our poor sweet Dawn was having to be like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And you know, insert rattlesnake noise, where Nymphia either didn't get it or hated it. And then when we get into the challenge, she just takes over. And a lot of people are like, well, Dawn shouldn't have let her steamroll her. Guys, like, as someone who it gets called out on interrupting quite a bit, like, there's only so much you can get in there before it flips and it's like, oh, you weren't sticking up for yourself. You were rude.
Yeah. And they weren't like playing a bit to get, like, they didn't, it seemed like they ran out of time and now they're filming. So they're like, we'll just go with it and whatever comes out, which I think, unfortunately for them, it was, they designed these, like, literal artsy fartsy characters, and then you have Carson and Michelle coming in also as artsy characters that I was like, oh, this is a I didn't wondered, like, should Carson and Michelle switch their characters up so they're like, I wanted them to be more like, you know, the small town, like, locals that are looking for an interesting bathroom and they're like fixer upper.
That is such a good point. It was like two in it. It's like if they had come as goth, then like the hell experience would have been like a different, like going back and forth. But all in all, I mean, the bathrooms looked cool. I think whoever is with Safira is going to be made to look good.
They just have good energy together and they were having fun. Like that was the thing of like, you know, we come from sketch and improv comedy that like, when you're in a flow state of trying to make the person on your team laugh, like that's when you're kind of in a sweet spot of like untouchable playfulness. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they were just having a fun time discovering all this dumb shit of like, here's some booze. Oh, I got her name wrong again. Like they were discovering bits. Maybe they were
pre-planned. It felt in real time, but like part of it, but it felt still like light and maybe it was a pre-planned bit, but then they like added a little bit of improv at the end, which I've noticed both of them are pretty good at. So overall, and then we went to the runway, which was Chain.
Yeah. What was it called? What was it? Chain Reaction.
Well, once again, Safira had the world's biggest outfit.
And also, I have all caps. This Safira dog outfit. What? Safira is giving range. She's giving dumb creativity.
She's giving inflatable dresses.
She's giving, I had to pay extra for my luggage because it was over the weight limit.
Oh, Safira rented a tractor trailer.
Yeah, this is, I mean, and you know what? At this point, I don't care if that's illegal. I want to see all these parade floats. These are amazing.
Yes, I would rather have less rules of what the girls can bring. I mean, I say that while granted, I've also said I feel like they should have a season where there is a price limit
on
stuff. Just to see, you know, just kind of like even the playing field.
That's what Formula One does.
There we go.
And if I've said it before, I'll say it again. Drag race is exactly like Formula One.
It's literally drag racing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know what a drag race is. Like an actual drag race. But so I liked Morphine's outfit. I mean,
loved it.
You know, lots of chains. It's a look that I feel like has been done, but at least like brought the chains. I thought some of the other ones, it was like, all right. I mean, Dawn, love you to pieces, but we just did the chains in front of the face for the 80s drag con. Oh, so true, I wanted that to be mixed up. I felt like that was a repeat kind of like,
and it's
shared
hard,
DNA.
Yeah. And it's hard too, I think, when you're going for much smaller detail and you have someone like Safira walk the runway and then someone like Dawn, whose outfit is still great, but by comparison, you're like, this looks like all she did was put a body chain on, and Safira came out in like full latex Dalmatian outfit with a fire hydrant prop. So I love Dawn's aesthetic. It works for her. I feel like she can go out with no regrets. You know, there wasn't a huge faux pas. The biggest, you know, unfortunate event was that Body was the lip sync song and Morphine won within like 0.4 seconds of it starting.
Oh, I mean, for your life. Okay, Morphine won. I mean, immediately.
Oh, God. I was like, as someone who obviously, as a soulless white girl in a certain way that relates to Dawn, unfortunately, I was like, this is never going to happen. Yeah, you could pull out every prop, everything I've never seen before, but Morphine is literally embodying this song.
Well, Morphine looked like Morphine has performed this song on stage, like several times, and why wouldn't you? And just absolutely crushed it. And poor Dawn also, like, the outfit, not that we know Dawn's a big dancer, but like the outfit itself was restricting.
Yeah.
It was just a whole vibe. So it definitely deserved, Morphine deserved to stay in that moment since it does come down to that.
Yeah.
But I will miss our little pixie elf-eared Dawn.
Sweet baby Dawn. She'll be
all
right.
And now we can hang with Dawn now that she's off the show.
Now we can have her as a guest. And ask for the real tea. But yeah, she didn't stand a chance. Poor thing. And wouldn't that be kind of a relief to go out that way of being like, probably not. She probably wanted to actually go out a great job.
Yeah, no, you want to go out when it's like, oh my God, they both killed it. And they both kind of like blew kisses at each other.
Yeah.
You either want to like demolish your competitor or be like, we're good, girl. Look how talented we both are. It's up to the judge's hand. So
anyway,
I'll miss Dawn's talking heads too, because I think she gave good sassy commentary.
She did. The Dawnesty will be missed. We'll see who picks
Continue on, because we're always like, we'll talk before we start. We're always like, we'll talk about Drag Race for like 5 minutes, and here we are 20 minutes in. Okay, let's get into Survivor.
Woo-woo. Yeah, wow.
We finally had an episode that was not dominated by the Yanu tribe completely.
Yes. Oh my God. I have never been more relieved to see a team win. They got second place in the challenge and they finally got their flint, because truly when they were, you know, letting us know up top that it's been 10 days without fire, that would break me. That would psychologically break me. And I'd be on teetering on an edge that would be dangerous for long-term psychological danger.
Being cold for that long, and even them voicing like, I'm just, the food is great, but I'm just so excited to wake up not cold tomorrow. Like, I don't walk around my house without socks. Like, I hate feeling cold. And then also too, it's like, there's no relief. It's not like, well, I'm cold, but like, I'll go take a hot shower later.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get that level of cold, it's like in your skeleton and there's no way to warm up. So I was so relieved. I think producers were quite relieved.
Yeah.
And editors, because I've never seen a slow-mo on Survivor like they did that slow-mo. I know the opening credits are slow-mo, but when they were going to shoot and it was going through the air, that last beanbag, I was truly like, wait, I'm taken out of it. I've never seen them do slow-mo like this before. This is epic.
Yeah, there were some editing choices that felt like, oh, they're trying to make some stuff happen here. Let us know how important this moment actually is.
I was so relieved for them. I was also nervous. I was nervous the whole time. Okay, three people, one person from each tribe went on a journey. We have Hunter, who is the best guy on the island. Let's be honest. Like, he's
skilled.
He's
dominating all of the physical challenges. Yeah.
Yep. we have Tim, who was on the other tribe, who's the dad.
Yes.
And then we had Q, right? Yeah. So they go on this journey. Okay. As they're forming their own alliance, which I think was very smart of them.
Of Q. Yeah. Q threw that out. And I was curious because I was like, is this good play? Are we going to get a talking head of someone being like, that's the dumbest plan ever? But
I think it was a good plan because it's not, because they all showed up there and were like, oh, we're all strong in challenges. Yeah. You know, if you'd gone and you'd been like, oh, and Mariah is here, who's yeah. breaking out from coconuts, you know what I mean? Then like, maybe we don't make this. But I think they were like, oh, right now, let's fucking ride. And also too, in a nice way where it wasn't like, oh, and this technically becomes a dude alliance because we're all going to bring guys. Right. Like their persons are women. But anyway, the whole time that Q was on that journey, all I kept thinking was, what if they don't save him any pastries?
Like, that's all I was worried about.
Same
exact thought. When they went back to what's her face and Tiffany eating the pastries, I was like, those girls got to slow down.
I was like, those are some big bites. Yeah, Q hasn't had any.
Did they? I mean, shouldn't they have waited for him to get back from his journey? I was bothered. And then when he showed up and they said, we've saved you 1/3, I was like, are they telling the truth? How would he know that this is 1/3 of it? He hasn't seen the whole.
Yeah.
Supply.
Oh, see, I was so relieved. I was so nervous that they were going to like mindlessly eat and be excited. In my head, I was going, okay, do the producers have a separate prize for him?
Right. When he gets back?
Like that's all I was, thinking about was, if Q doesn't get some of that croissant.
I know. Same.
I was so, because I would be like, oh, I'll go on this journey. Hand me 1/3 of that. Right. Bounty right now and I'll eat it on the boat.
That to me is one of the craziest parts of this show, is that these starving people get awarded this absolutely picturesque pile of whatever food it is, mm-hmm. and then they have to like wait until they're allowed to actually eat it, or it gets like brought to their camp and they can't just eat it on the spot, which is wild. I also just realized that maybe Q's plan is actually really smart, because by saying like, hey, bring your plus one to the merge, he made them all out who is their strongest alliance.
Oh, wow.
So now he knows who everyone else is working with, but they all know. So it's like equal knowledge. So it doesn't feel like, it's interesting.
Yeah. That
good
is,
job, Q.
Wow. I didn't even think about it like that, that already going in, he knows 4 people or whatnot. Wow.
Well, that's because Banu spilled his guts the week before.
Dude, Banu, which we didn't even fully process, like when I saw the last time on Survivor or whatever.
Yeah.
Banu crying to the gods.
Yeah. He blamed God. I mean, he and God had their own storyline last episode that was truly cinematic.
I mean, Banu acted like tribal was an actual, like they were choosing who to decapitate.
Yeah, yeah.
I said to Chip, I was like, not you're being kicked off a television show before you stole 1 million hearts.
Yeah. Million hearts. Stole the 1 million hearts.
Okay, let's talk about, besides my favorite thing of the episode was obviously during the challenge when Jeff was just firing off. I wrote, dead last, a familiar spot. Yano is dead last again, which is a common story. Like the level to which Jeff just doesn't give a fuck is amazing.
Jeff is dragging them. I mean, a way to kick them when they're down. Like they're literally starving, Jeff.
But with the challenges, when they go on the journey and it becomes Survivor, Fanatic, whatever, with the logos, putting the logos in order.
Hunter,
I hated this challenge, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a challenge like that, first of all, I think that should have been presented before you send them on a journey. So I feel like Jeff should have been like, who here has the most survivor knowledge in this crew, and then send them. But then also, I don't like it because I feel like it almost discourages people who aren't Survivor fanatics to sign up.
They're playing into the Survivor super fan quality of their contestants right now, which I don't love. However, I was in my mind, you know, because Hunter's been so excellent at everything, I was like, he's gonna nail this within 4 seconds. So to see him not get it was like, okay, he's human, albeit in the weirdest competition ever, that I do think like a lot of other contestants would have gotten correct. I don't know shit about that.
No, I mean, I can't keep up at all. So I thought that was an incredibly hard challenge. I'm sure Hunter was like, oh, I just wanted to balance on something. Or, you know, like,
yeah, can this- I just throw this big ball on that tiny like plate over there?
Right. Now I think people are going to really start getting into making that part of their Survivor superfan training is like making sure you know they all know of the things. I obviously fast forwarded through it because it was just chock full of spoilers. And I would like him him going actually putting them in order because it was just like, and I know that so and so won on this season before she, and I was like, this is just spoilers because I want to go back and actually watch those seasons.
Right, right, right.
So I fast forwarded through it. But I want to get to the juiciest part of this whole episode, which is Jem absolutely shooting herself in the fucking foot.
I can't feel. Okay. Well, first of all, the episode opened up too with them getting a salsa lesson. I just want to point out that when Charlie said, I can dance without even having to drink some dirty Shirley Temples.
Yep.
Okay. I just needed to say that because that was on my.
I guess Shirley Temples with vodka in it.
That's what I guess. But of course, the Taylor Swift super fan, that's his drink of choice, is a dirty Shirley Temple. No shade. I've just never heard of it before. Sounds delicious. Jem, from the beginning of the episode, from last week's episode, I was like, I kept telling Elliot, I got to see what Twitter says about this because is this behavior fun and entertaining or is this like insane and like kind of like I don't even know the word for it.
Again, I feel like it was
unnecessary.
In her head it was, I'm gonna make a play, and in my head I'm like, well, this is a bad play because you could just outright have an idol and no one is suspicious of you, so why did you redo that? Why did you do this? Was it to make them tired, to fuck with them, or to cause doubt and make them think someone else did this? Like, what what was the end goal? Because you could have just secretly had that idol without any suspicion.
She kept saying in her talking heads that she was having fun. It seemed to be that this was like for entertainment value and also to take the heat off of her potentially having an idol. But it just like went on for so long that I was like, this now just seems like a bit cruel. And like, even if you have the best season and this vibes tribe, right? If I was watching this back, I'd be like, holy shit. Like, I know we're all lying to each other, but like, what? Immediately?
I just don't think that level of deceit needs to happen until you make the merge.
Yeah. Because like, people are playing hard and fast so quickly.
Yeah. It's right now, like, your team should be your alliance, like, unless you're on the chopping block, which they quickly were. Yeah. And it absolutely shot her in the foot. What I will say is, since we finally got to hear other teams talk or other tribes talk this week without Yanu taking over, I do think Tim, who went on the journey, who's a dad, who has an alliance with Maria, him going like, it's this, it's her.
Yeah, him saying her to her, so when are you going to tell me about you having the beware advantage? I was like, oh, here we go.
So he sniffed her out. Yeah. So I immediately was like, you're good. And then I automatically felt a kinship to him because he was like, I haven't pooped in 10 days. I was like, my man.
But don't they? I thought that they remove contestants if they haven't pooped for a certain amount of time because it becomes like an actual medical issue, but they seemed lighthearted. There was lighthearted music behind it, so I was like, okay, this isn't gonna be traumatic. I do love Ben, the music guy.
I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah, it took me a while to warm up, and now I'm very protective over him. Him holding the hammer while Jem had a machete and the two of them having a conversation, but him starting the conversation by going, look, I'm like a judge with a gavel, and jumps up and hits a tree.
He was making the fact that he had a potential weapon known. He so absolutely goofy. I think he's fantastic. Same. I again was like, oh no, corny guy, rocker guy, whatnot. Yeah. But Charlie was correct in describing him as, and I quote, a charisma rock and roll shield.
Yeah, yeah.
He's charismatic. He's rock and roll. I mean, what was her... Mariah? Yes. Mariah, I think, is in love with Ben.
Oh, okay.
She called him, quote, the most enjoyable person I've ever met in my entire life. Yes, I was like, whoa, it keeps going. It keeps going, that compliment.
But he is like so genuine.
Yeah.
Like it took me a while to believe how genuine he seemed. I was like, is this a bit or is this a caricature? Right. But it's like the guy from last season whose name I'm forgetting that went, what was his name? That he spoke like a Boston,
The lawyer.
Yeah. He was so great. Anyway, he reminds me of him. I'm very protective over Ben. I was hoping that because I was like, everyone seems to be in a female alliance, which female alliances never work on this show.
Right.
Ever. So when Maria, the mother woman, when she and Charlie were talking about like, now's the time that we could flip on her, I was like, truly not. I was like, Ben's going home. This is going to be upsetting. Ben's going to go home. There's no way. I don't see any of them sniffing her out. But she just got like, it seemed like she spiraled more and more before tribal happened, because they've been 10 days without going to tribals. They haven't even gotten to play the game. So it's like all of a sudden their blue balls are like, what?
And they're like, they've hung out longer than like people go to camp and become best friends, you know, and that's without the bonding of like how tough it is out there. I was curious because, you know, Maria does have that alliance with Charlie, but also had it with the women. But then when Tim went on the journey, he was like, my girl is Maria. So, you know what I mean? Where he was like, we're the two parents. So I was like, oh, okay, this is her moment to flip. And like, she's clearly well liked by the guys. Not that it needs to be just gender alliances, but I was like, this one's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And if I had a shred of doubt that someone made me do manual labor when I'm rocking zero calories to burn, fuck you. Like, I might have gotten physical.
But I was like, I feel like they're editing around this because they didn't really show us everyone catching on to the fact. But she left pissed. She didn't say goodbye. She didn't. At least that's what I remember, unless I missed it. Because as soon as someone gets voted off, I like furiously go to Twitter to be like, what's everyone saying about this?
I know. But you know what I wish? I wish just for, I know they can't do it, but I wish for the sake of, especially in this one when they dug forever to find nothing.
Yeah.
I wish when someone leaves, they show like what they're actually leaving with.
I wish that too.
So they could be like, so you did lie. And guess what, guys? There's going to be an idol hidden tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now they don't know if the idol is being put back into play or anything. So I really feel like Survivor found its rhythm this week and felt like Survivor and not just like the Banu show.
Well, we got to finally see the other teams. We know next week the merge happens. So we're already there without even really getting to know the other team, I guess Hunter's team. So we'll get to meet the cast.
I know,
next week.
The first week we knew so much about Soda and her Christmas hams.
Yeah.
And now it's like we haven't heard her talk in 3 weeks.
I know.
Okay, speaking of not talking, at least to each other, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules super fast, and then we'll get into the Bachelor finale.
Oh, right. Yeah, Vanderpump Rules is just like...
not ruling.
It's not ruling, except this episode, the end with Katie sleeping with Schwartz's best friend, got a little like, oh, here we go. Here's the new drama. Because everything else just feels like, ugh. That Tom is doing some other weird metaphysical fucking spiritual bullshit thing on camera.
I hate it. I hate it.
And this is from a person that did a master's degree in depth psychology and creativity. That stuff is powerful and legit. But the way I watch it on this program is like, oh, man, this is so soulless and stupid.
It was so stupid. And also, it's like, I don't care if this was a brand deal. Like, you cannot put me on national television doing that, like, what sounded like horny trauma.
Yeah,
like the breath work, the shallow breath, the convulsing, like, ugh, I hated it. I hate this newfound friendship between Lala and Sandoval. I'll say it right now.
Yeah.
The Sheena and Schwartz of it all.
How does Sheena have everyone's locations? What is going on with that? Do people do that as adults? Is that something that people do? My husband doesn't even have my location.
Well, here's what's so crazy. I recently shared mine with Chip just when it was like updating phone and being like, oh, make sure red receipts are on. Like things like that where it's like, I care about you. And then I also have Jacqueline's and it was something from like a, you know, travel abroad being like, well, come meet us. But like, turn on your location in case something crazy happens. But she fully has everyone she's ever known. I'm like, are you going into their phone and turning it on? Because that's not something you can activate. They have to activate it.
I think people will share their locations and then they'll forget that she has it.
But she's clearly checking it to find your tea. So like if she has your location with that, I was like, and I went to look to see if you got home, to see if he got home. I'm like, why are you checking to see if Tom's best friend got home okay?
Because she's on a reality program. I don't know. And she wasn't going to bring it. Brock just putting it out there is great. Him being like, Sheena, I'm done with you trying to like censor what I can and can't say on this show that's supposed to be transparent.
I'm kind of team Brock at the moment.
Yeah, he seems like he's just like trying. He seems the most genuine. I did love, though, at the very end of this episode of Lala being like, everyone here is moving weird. And I'm like, did you just wake up from the fever dream that's been paying you for years? This is what your show is. Mm-hmm. It is this bizarro, incestuous group of like people in Hollywood searching for something. And it continues. Like, it's not like it was a phase. I love that they're all like us growing up and being like, what is my relationship to alcohol? What is my idea of God? But I'm still going to get drunk and sleep with your best friend.
We're still going to have a pool party and wake up with massive regrets. Yeah, it's interesting to see how that will shake out. I do think, like, in my opinion, that is something Tom should be mad at his friend about. He has no place being
Katie
mad
can do whatever she wants.
Katie, who he's been divorced with forever, who she said not in the friend group, and that was the whole impetus of the drama with Raquel last season before Scandoval erupted. Yeah. So if he even confronts Katie about it, it's like, bro, talk to your friend.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? If like a friend of mine slept with an ex, I wouldn't be like, well, I mean, loyalty. It's like, no, we've been broken up. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I have no loyalty.
Yeah. She can do whatever she wants, but it did seem like she did not want that brought up on camera. So
she did not. She was actually gooped, gagged, gobsmacked.
I'm like, oh, I know that face where you're like, I'll pretend I didn't hear it. Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Could you repeat it slower as I figure out what to say back to you?
God, she's so lucky she doesn't get hives. I would have just been like, just like red everywhere.
A dot for every lie. Okay, well, speaking of gooped, gobsmacked, we've got your first Bachelor finale, baby.
Oh my God. It was too long, but that's fine. I was just like, this is longer than a movie.
Mm-hmm. It took forever. It is definitely a slow roll. I have been saying it from the get-go. I was team Kelsey, like, even when it was like the last 10. So I told you, I think she's funny on TikTok. And so I was really happy. I feel like they have like a really sweet connection.
They seem genuinely, when they meet each other, I'm like, look at those cute little lovebirds. I'm like, that's so sweet.
It's really sweet. And I thought it was, once again, she gets like steamrolled by all the families. I don't know if the families, just like the Golden Bachelorettes, I don't know if they're just making it the story that Kelsey gets constantly told. Like, you know, you could get heartbroken.
I know. They really check her for some reason. Also, here's my question. Do the last two girls meet the parents back to back, like same day? Because that's crazy.
Yes, they meet them back to back. And my second question is, at any point was it mentioned that like Joey's mom has like a speech thing, or was she lit up on mimosas?
I couldn't tell either. I did at one point realize that she sounded like she was slurring, and I was like, but I get it. This is a long ass weird day for you guys.
I didn't know if maybe she was a little drunk because it's something else that I'm sorry if I sound insensitive, but yeah. Like it cut to her at the live and she was watching herself going,
oh really?
Like she was cringing at herself, which could just be to see herself on camera, but it was truly like, oh. And then she also sounded more drunk during Kelsey, which was the second one of the day.
I caught it too, and I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, does his mom have a speech impediment that I didn't recognize in the beginning? But yeah. Or is this, that's why I was like, is this back to back? And they're just like topping off their champagne for continuity.
That's what I'm saying. Because if my mom and sister had to meet someone on The Bachelor and they were given four mimosas, I'd be like, you are meeting an interesting version of my family.
Especially because she told Daisy, I'd be honored to have you as a daughter-in-law. And that's when I was like, oh shit, is it gonna be Daisy? Whoa. That's a crazy thing to start your day saying to a stranger.
No, absolutely. I knew it wasn't going to be Daisy when they gave her that last date in a cave.
I said, they gave Daisy the spiritual experience and they gave Kelsey a spa day. Oh, they love Kelsey.
Well, I was talking to someone about this the other day. I was talking to Kiwi and I was like, oh, yeah, the differences in the two dates. It's obvious, like the front runner. However, a little food for thought is like, definitely Daisy was like, I love this spiritual stuff.
And yeah,
like,
she did say she likes that stuff.
That's why the producer did it. Granted, though, like there's a guy in a cave with you speaking not your first language. Yeah. And it's hot. And like if you already have anxiety and then you get put into a sauna, all that. However, I like to think, who knows? We'll never know. I like to think that if it was reversed, Kelsey and him would have been laughing and having fun during it.
Yes.
So it really was it was not only the vibe of the date, but also like the elephant in the room of how she was feeling.
Yeah, but I did make a note that was like, whoa, this spiritual experience kind of worked because it did bring out the truth for Daisy as she started to realize like, one, look, I was kind of like, Daisy's cool. I have no like nothing negative to say about her, but I thought Kelsey was like more fit for him. But after this episode, wow, I have so much respect for Daisy. This like really blew my mind.
I just got cold chills. This is the first time I've liked Daisy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like I felt like she, because you showed me her old music video and people were speculating online too that like maybe she was there for like clout for her music or something.
Be Bachelorette, which now we know she wasn't.
Which I have questions about. But you only see her kind of like, I don't know. She didn't get to show a ton of personality. And this whole episode, I was like, what a remarkable woman. Like, this is truly incredible. Both of them. When they, oh my God.
They
knocked on the door and they hugged and they cried.
Covered.
I cried. I'm on this medication that makes my hormones through the roof. And I was like, this is girlhood. This is female friendship. This is the stuff they only talk about in myths and dreams.
I have cold chills on the top of my head. It was such a, while I will say the exact opposite about after the final rose, the finale itself, I feel like, was brilliant producing.
Oh my God.
The fake outs, the having them come together, the making sure, I mean, and even just the way that Daisy was vulnerable enough to go, well, twofold, the moments, to go like, I know it's not me, instead of just like, never mind, I don't want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For her to go like, I know it's not me and she's amazing and you guys do it. And then the fucking heart wrencher in the car of, if I can love someone that much who's not right, imagine how much I can love someone who is. Or I whatever thought, the version of it was.
If I can love the wrong person this much, imagine how much I can love the right person. I was like, oh, she just came up with her own Bachelorette trailer in real time. I was like, that's an incredible line. And wow. But because when she started to ask Kelsey, like, how was your last date? I was like, is this normal? Do they do this?
No, but that's the thing is, I wonder in the same way when we talked about like the the women tell all, how yeah. everyone was like making up and Maria was hugging people and they talked about like, maybe don't be such assholes to them on Twitter kind of yeah. thing. Besides racist, just people are mean.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's kind of like Bachelor in the Barbie era, where it's like, if yeah. someone's like, I want to talk to them, this is yeah. my friend.
Yes.
You know, like as much as they are my competition. Yes. I thought it was so wise of them to do that and not just keep them like caged animals.
Yes. I thought it was so great. The thing that I do hate that they still do is make them walk the longest distance possible to get to Joey at the end of the, like when they were driving up in the car and then Daisy got out first yeah. and like he sees her. I was like, she has to walk like half a mile now.
And that dress was constricting.
She looked amazing in that dress. That red dress was stunning. Also, wow, Kelsey going with a white dress. I don't know whose choice it is, like hers or producers, but that is like, damn girl. Everyone's like, that's winner behavior.
However, I'm like so wild that even if I was Kelsey and the other person was like, and I think Joey comforted her in all the right ways. Like, he's so sweet. Like, what a good bachelor. He truly is the best bachelor of all time. Like, true. So I mean, emotionally available and mature.
Emotionally mature to a degree that is like unprecedented.
Oh, it was so sweet. But if I was Kelsey, even if literally Joey had comforted me and Daisy comes and is like, ours wasn't like that. Yeah. I think it's you. And we're riding together. And I know that like Daisy is going to be dumped / leave. And yeah. I'm going to go get engaged. I would still be like, he wanted Daisy and he's going to be so heartbroken from this that they just tell me to stay in the car and drive off. Or just yeah. be like, you know what I mean? Like, I would still be like, oh, this is going to make me being rejected even worse.
Well, that's I was like making notes throughout it, remembering like, how could she ever trust him after this? Like, he truly literally. And like they had the Daisy and him had, wow, the most mature breakup I think I've ever experienced between mm-hmm. two young adults. And for that to happen, I would be like, oh shit, maybe he loves her more now because she's so mature about all of this. And what oh if that's God. Like super attractive to him and I seem like a big old baby? But
poor
no
Joey.
Oh my God, her walking, Daisy walking back and then hugging Kelsey and being like, your mom would be so proud
I
of
can't.
You Daisy, are you kidding me?
I can't. Like, when she did that, it didn't make me go, I want her to be the bachelorette. I still was like, I still wanted it to be Maria. It didn't make yeah. me go like, that's the next bachelorette. It made me go, will you host instead of Jesse Palmer?
That's what, like, I was like, yeah, same. I was like, that is emotional intelligence. That mm-hmm. is maturity. That is a deep level of female respect and yeah. An ability to step outside of yourself and the circumstances and to see your experience for what it is rather than the narrow lens that you're experiencing it through. Like, that is some true leveled up self-work shit that she...
Agreed. And, you know, like, it's not lost on me that realizing you're about to be dumped
yeah.
and getting ahead of that
yeah,
and
yeah.
saying it, it also saves space for you. But she clearly cared enough about these two people and especially Joey to go like, yeah. I'm not going to even make you dump me. Like, have a good time.
Yeah.
However, there was one side by side, Grace, it killed me so badly of when Joey's like trying to keep in his crying so hardcore. It was matched up beside. Have you ever seen that picture of a dachshund who got stung by a bee?
Yes.
And it killed me. Oh my God. I think
I can see it.
It was an incredible finale. I know when they always say like, this is a finale like you've never seen. I was like,
I really, you know what?
It actually was. Yeah. In the millions of seasons they have, this is the first time I've ever seen this.
I feel privileged to mm-hmm. watch this as my first real full season of The Bachelor. Even the post dump conversation that yeah. Daisy and Joey had on the couch in front of everyone was the most mature conversation I've ever heard. Them just thanking each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was like, can we wrap this up a little bit?
You have no idea. Like, there have been I think, 3 seasons, Grace. Yeah. Where, like, and one of the early ones where by the time it's after the final rose,
yeah,
they admit, like, we broke up because I realized I chose the wrong person. And that yeah. person just, I mean, like, truly, there was one
wow.
where they showed the breakup. They were like, the bachelor, his name was, oh God, he was like a race car driver. I forget.
Wait,
his name.
Was this the Ari season?
Yes, Ari.
That's where, the one I did see. That's why that guy was such a doof to me. No, such no, doof, but, no shade.
But now him and the other woman, they yeah. have 2 kids. They're like, yeah. And then the other one that happened with, which she was like told on air, where yeah. he was like, I made a mistake. And so she was like, what? Because here she had been living for 4 months being like, well, they're happily engaged. And he was like, I broke up with her. I made a mistake.
Oh my
Did
God.
It on the show. They oh have God. Multiple kids and have been married ever since.
Jeez Louise.
Anyway, so like there has been some drama. So for this, it truly felt like I was watching like a ladies' luncheon. Yeah. Everyone was so excited to see each other. And I will say this.
Yeah.
Whatever Daisy's doing, she's never looked better.
Did she get it? Who cares what work she might have gotten done?
She got
at first I was like,
snatched.
Her face looks different, but I was like, she looks stunning. This is what emotional maturity does to a human.
Well, she
whatever it was,
stunning.
She looked fantastic.
She looked snatched. She looked stunning. She looked great. But also, I wonder, I feel like on the actual Bachelor, just for like cost and budget, like yeah. they do their own hair and makeup. I think this is the first time we've seen Daisy with professional hair and makeup.
Wow. I didn't know that they did their own hair and makeup. They always look so good.
They don't have time. They don't have time to like, yeah, I'm sure they have people there to be like, honey, this is fucked up. Like they're not going to have them go out. But I think, you know, you can't do like 12 people's hair and makeup every time and take 2 hours. I think it's on them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, The Bachelorette.
Okay. But before, just really quick, I want a message. Kelsey's dad in the audience. Damn.
And then Jesse was like, we'll probably be hearing from you later. Like, I don't know if they're going to give him Golden Bachelor because we have the Golden Bachelorette first. I think he might be a contestant on it.
That would be interesting. Okay.
You know?
Her dad seems lovely.
And we haven't announced who the Golden Bachelorette is either.
Oh,
is
that's
going to be
ask.
The dance teacher who got dumped? Like...
Leslie? Are they going to bring back bitter Leslie?
Are they going to bring back Leslie?
Oh, no, she's great. She calls it like she's experienced it.
Is Leslie going to be Kelsey's new stepmom after she was like, this process you're gonna is terrible. It's like, thanks, you're my new stepmom? Great.
But okay, I cut you off. We're in now Bachelorette territory.
I am shook.
Me too. Wasn't expecting that. I'll tell you that much.
I am excited, you know, to have the first Asian American. I don't want to take away from that. Bachelorette.
Oh, is she?
She's the first one.
Oh, wow. Congrats, Jen.
Yeah. So that's like historic. And she's a sweetheart. And, you know,
I think she's great.
She's great. It's just that Maria is such a fucking powerhouse.
Such a wild card, too.
And then seeing. I was so like, I don't want Daisy. And then seeing the finale with Daisy, I was like, I still want Maria, but like, I now know you could hold your fucking own.
Yeah, wait, okay. Here's my question. I remember that I forgot that. So when they brought Daisy out, were they setting up the premise that she turned down The Bachelorette because she's not ready to go on this experience again, which is, again, perfectly in line from being the most mature person?
Yeah, and maybe you're like, look, I've just had my hearing. Maybe I should like go on some actual dates that aren't produced on television.
Yes, 100%.
And also people noticed too after the final rose, her voice had changed.
That's what I noticed too. But
because
I guess that's part
used
of it.
To her, she can talk now. Like she can hear herself talk better and like has gotten used to it. Like, you know, they like showed her getting it and it was like she goes, I sound like an alien. Like she can learn to manipulate her voice more. So anyway.
But wait, so that she came out and they were basically like, so why did you turn down The Bachelorette? Is that what was happening?
I think in so many words. I think the producers wanted her. Apparently, again, not confirmation. Apparently, she and Maria both turned it down.
Oh, Maria turned it down.
That is the word on the street. Ooh. And maybe that is absolutely false. Maybe just Daisy did. And then like Jen was next up.
And Maria was like, I turned it down too.
However, some people, like, everyone is going, oh, it's the Tyler Cameron route. Like, they didn't give it to Tyler Cameron. And then he, like, did his own thing and started dating, like, Gigi Hadid. And, like, you know, and so people okay. are like, everyone's like, Maria's too good to waste her time with, like, the guys who are going to be on The Bachelorette. Like, she's going to go date a fucking celebrity.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, wasn't that the rumor that she's dated a member of One Direction, too?
I know that she was a super fan. I don't know if there was any actual dating. I think she was, like, a stalker.
Well, she's made an impression on Bachelor Nation. I mean, she's got to be probably in Paradise, right? At least.
You know what? Usually they... Oh, man. I feel like Paradise has to be coming up pretty soon of who they announce is going to be on it. And I'm only going to know people from this season. Right. I'm not going to know any of the guys.
Yeah, I mean, I won't know at all. But I feel like she might have turned it down. I'm so speculating to be on Paradise instead because it's more fun. Who knows?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Look, we're in the universe again. We've got Goldens. We've got regulars. We've got Paradise. This is...
I'm orbiting in this universe. There's a lot going on. Honestly, I am really excited for Jen. I think she was super fun, super charming, and like down for whatever. I also think that she's the kind of woman that like all of the men will fall in love with. You know, like they don't have to worry about like connections. Like she's so likable that it won't be an issue.
Totally. Oh my goodness. Whew! Here we are again. Me saying, Grace, let's make this a quickie. Rounding out on an hour.
We got thoughts.
We got so many thoughts. Wow.
So Bachelor, we don't have next week then. Okay.
So I think we need to, and you guys tweeted us, DM us, do all the things of what's coming up that we should start to cycle in. I mean, I think we're still good with like Drag Race, The Pump, Survivor right now. We're getting into the nitty gritty or else these are going to be an hour and a half long.
Right.
But like what is coming up?
Yeah, let us know what's coming up because also we have, like, I haven't watched Love is Blind.
Crazy.
The most recent season. I know. I just don't have the time.
Now it's old news.
I know. That's the bummer, too, is that, like, I just don't have the time to...
What don't you have?
Time to dedicate to binging. I want to, though.
Who has the time? You're just doing a Seinfeld.
But yeah, let us know what else is coming up. I forget. We've been in this for a while. Yeah.
What if Daisy turned it down to do a Netflix show called Love is Deaf? I'm just saying.
You know, now we're wildly speculating things that have no basis in reality.
None at all. Well, a girl can dream, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, this got real.
Yep.